this is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm, and today we're broadcasting live from Madison Brewing Company in downtown Bennington. We've got light streaming in through the big windows that face onto Main Street. It's become a beautiful day here. We are having a wonderful time. I'm up on stage where you can sometimes hear live music in the evenings, local bands performing. I'm facing the casks where they brew Mike's Irish Red and Buck's Honey Wheat beers. And we thought we'd catch the lunch rush for some New England cod cakes and a brewer's steak sandwich. And we are not alone. There is a great crowd here today. Everybody wave. I'm going to tweet you right now. Now, for those of you listening on the radio who are not quite as intimately connected with Bennington, it is the third largest town, not city, in Vermont. And it's closer to Albany, Concord, and Hartford than it is to its own state capital. Some of the biggest employers in Bennington County are the Southwestern Vermont Medical Center, Mack Molding, NSK Steering Systems, Plasan USA, the Armor Division, Command Composites, the Vermont Veterans Home, and, of course, Bennington College. And a lot of people around here commute to Albany, which is just 40 miles away. Bennington Pottery was founded here in 1948, and much of its stoneware is still made at Potter's Yard in Bennington. And this is how many people from around the country and around the world first hear the name Bennington. That, of course, and the many Bennington College graduates who are so proud of their alma mater and spread that spirit far and wide. We've come to Bennington today. I think some of them are here in the audience. We've come to Bennington today to get to know a little bit more about this part of the state, but also because Bennington has had the dubious distinction of becoming part of the focus of media attention on Vermont's opiate addiction crisis. This past March, Bennington was the subject of a New York Times story that generated quite a bit of anger in town. The headline read, "Heroin Scourge Overtake a Quaint Vermont Town." So we want to talk today about the drug abuse issue in Bennington, but also to hear about other issues affecting the area and to get to know some of the cultural gems that the town is justifiably proud of. And we'd like to hear from those of you who live around here. As I said, we have a live audience today. They've got some cards on the table, and if you have one and want to write a comment, you can pass it over to the man in the yellow shirt, Rick Singeri, who is hard to miss. And you could also, if you'd like to speak into the microphone, go up and see Rick. Now, if you're not here enjoying a lunch break, you can, of course, call the regular number, 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. All right, so first today, let's talk about heroin. That New York Times article quoted a Vermont state trooper as saying that heroin baggies could be found in the halls of the town's Mount Anthony Union High School. The principal and some of the students at the high school say that's just not true. One group of Mount Anthony Union High School students decided to do something about it and responded to the New York Times directly with a rap video on YouTube.
My hometown with the New York Times with a problem that's the latest.
15-year-old Ozzy Bourne heard about the article first on Facebook.
Everyone was all angry about it because there were some things said in there that were completely untrue. They didn't ask regular citizens of Bennington. No, they went straight to where they thought the addicts would be.
Bourne was angry about it too, so he did what he often does when he's trying to sort things out. He wrote a rap song about it.
Because a lot of people don't realize it, but rap music, it's just poetry to a beat.
Used to think where I lived was the greatest till I was in seventh grade.
Bourne has lived his whole life in Bennington. He knows the town has a heroin problem. A few years ago, he witnessed a drug raid from his own backyard.
Yeah, I was in seventh grade, and my neighbors got drug busted. And there's cops running through my backyard with shotguns.
Then there's the realization. This is how it is across the nation. Bittersweet my revelation. To write this out, I'll...
But even though heroin is a problem in town, Bourne says it doesn't define Bennington.
My opinion is that the problem is bad, but it's not any worse than it is anywhere else.
At Mount Anthony Union High School, Bourne is part of a program called Quantum Leap, which gets students interested in learning by pursuing projects that capture their interests. Danielle Crozier directs the program along with her husband, Rick. Crozier says her students were frustrated, angry, and confused by the Times story.
Because they did not see their school the way that it was portrayed in the New York Times. And so we started looking for the facts. Is this fact correct? Let's do some digging.
Fearing the story would hurt their chances for admission to competitive colleges, the students wrote a letter to the Times rebutting the article and asking for an online correction.
The flaws, untrue facts have made the task of applying for colleges hard to fast for the vast amount of students who actually try in class and haven't even done drugs in the past.
Crozier says the Times never responded to the student's letter or to any of the school's attempts to reach the paper. Mount Anthony Union principal Sue McGuire says it was important to everyone to set the record straight.
Because once something is in print, especially from a place like the New York Times, people tend to believe it, and I knew what was printed was totally untrue about our school.
Jeff Grimshaw of Bennington is a former media marketing expert from Turner Broadcasting. He stepped forward and offered to help the kids turn the rap into a video.
This is a David versus Goliath story. You have a small band of students here standing up for their hometown, standing up for themselves, standing up for their futures against this mega news media corporation that is perceived as infallible.
The school did receive a letter from the director of the state police calling the troopers' alleged comments, quote, careless and inaccurate, unquote. It says the Times hadn't checked its information with the state police.
So New York Times, do as you should and right your wrongs. Don't ruin their futures because of Bennington's problems.
Crozier says students in her program are taught to be accountable for their mistakes. She says the class is hoping the New York Times will do the same.
VPR's Susan Keese provided the reporting for that story. We wrote to the New York Times to ask for their take. Spokeswoman Eileen Murphy told us that the reporter on the story responded to the people who had reached out to her personally, but that the New York Times was not aware of any letter from the school. I'm going to quote from what they said. They said, quote, "We have in fact published two letters to the editor that were follow-ups to this story, but we have no record of any formal request for corrections or any other interactions with our editors." Murphy also told us that Trooper Godfrey, that state police person who had spoken in the New York Times piece, spoke to the reporter, quote, on the record during the duration of their time together, as had been arranged by the state police. We are in Bennington today, and we're talking first a little bit about heroin abuse and how the community is dealing with it. We're also going to be looking at other issues in Bennington today. And again, if you want to add your thoughts, if you're in the audience, you can write a note, hand it to Rick in the yellow shirt. If you are listening on the radio, you can call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. To follow up on what is happening with addiction services, let's turn now to Peg Gregory. She is the Director of Outpatient Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services for United Counseling Services. That's a community mental health center in Bennington. Peg, it's nice to have you on the program.
Thank you, Jane. It's nice to be here.
So, as Governor Shumlin made very clear in his State of the State address, opiate addiction is a statewide problem. So Bennington is certainly not immune. It's also not alone. Let's talk a little bit about how you're addressing it, though. In that hub-and-spoke model that the governor has set up, Bennington is a spoke. That means you don't have a methadone treatment clinic. The nearest one is in Rutland, and there was some controversy a couple years ago when a methadone clinic in Bennington was proposed. Do you think that you need one here now?
We're actually currently in the process of trying to sort that out. The plan to have Bennington folks who needed methadone taken care of at the Rutland Hub has not worked out as had been envisioned. The original plan was for 400 people to be treated out of that hub, and the expectation was that slightly less than half of those folks would come from Bennington. But because it's a significant commute and a very significant commitment to people to get there daily, it turns out that less than 10 people using the hub services in Rutland are from Bennington County. So United Counseling Service and Southwestern Vermont Medical Center are currently in conversation with one another, trying to sort out whether we actually need hub services here or if what we need is what we're deeming more of a super spoke that provides more intensive supports and daily dosing for people but stops short of providing methadone.
What's your take?
I think it makes sense for us to start with this super spoke where people, most people, we believe, can get their needs met, even people who are really significantly struggling with addiction, because they can be dosed daily, that can be observed, we can provide all kinds of support services for them. And it may be more manageable to transport the folks who actually truly need methadone to another hub, but creating that super spoke will allow us to be able to begin to sort out how many people really do need methadone.
Do you have enough providers who are able to prescribe Suboxone and other treatment methods beyond methadone?
We really don't yet. We have a handful of remarkable primary care docs in this community who have done an amazing job of stepping up to try to deal with this crisis. But the arrangement is, if you are a spoke provider as a doctor, you can only take up to 100 patients in the spoke. And it just doesn't seem to be quite enough. So we're looking for more providers willing to do that hard work.
You know, we were just listening to some of the rap that the students at Mount Anthony Union High School made in response to that New York Times article saying, hey, you know, our school is not all that bad and our town has a lot to offer. What do you think about the attention that Bennington has received from the national media and from the state media and state services since the governor's State of the State address?
Well, I have mixed feelings. I think most people have mixed feelings about it. I know in the provider treatment and recovery world, there's people are somewhat pleased that this is getting the attention that it needs, and we're particularly pleased with the response from the community that this is a problem here, just as it is a problem everywhere. But in this community, we're willing to address that straightforwardly. And the whole community really is coming together to address that. So that's been very positive. But it is true that it, I think, presented Bennington in an inaccurate light.
Inaccurate, why?
It was presenting one side of the story. It was talking very much about these problems with addiction, which certainly exist, but they are not the majority of our community.
Do you think Bennington has more of a problem with opiates and other drugs than other parts of the state?
No, I think we're on a par with much of the rest of the state, and less than some areas. It's still very much a significant problem, however.
You know, we also do hear that part of the problem in Vermont right now is that we're in this corridor of drug mm-hmm. use between New York and Canada, and Bennington is sometimes called the gateway to New York. So do you see that problem manifesting itself here?
I think that's part of what contributes to the problem, certainly. Yes, there is a fair amount of traffic that moves through, and the same is true for other towns on the way north as well into Canada.
I'm talking right now with Peg Gregory. She's the Director of Outpatient Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services for United Counseling Services. That's the Community Mental Health Service Center in Bennington. And we're hearing from some of the members of our audience today at Madison Brew Pub. David says, you know, that rap song and the letter to the Times were not isolated reaction. There was a school-wide outpouring of school spirit saying that the article was irresponsible. We have never found heroin in any form at the high school. And just a show of nodding or shaking, do you think that the heroin crisis has had a negative impact, the media attachment to it? Has that had a negative impact on Bennington? I'm seeing sort of mixed sentiments here. So, Peg Gregory, as you said, you know, you saw it as a mixed bag because it also does provide some attention to the community and to something that you're dealing with. Are you seeing any more funds flowing in, more attention that could lead to a greater ability to deal with drug issues?
We're certainly seeing much more attention on this problem. I think that one of the positive effects of this has been the way that the entire community, business, education, law enforcement, recovery, treatment, medical services, are really pulling together to look at how we can address the problem. And we're hopeful there may be some more funding that comes in. I know that through the new S-295 Rapid Intervention Bill, some money's flowing into the state to deal with that from a law enforcement standpoint. And we are currently in the process of trying to get an intensive outpatient program in Bennington for substance abuse, which we've never had historically, and we have great high hopes that that will get funded.
You know, we actually got a note from Amelia in the audience who says, Bennington urgently needs an intensive day program for addicts. Our current community mental health center has not risen to that challenge. How do you respond to that?
Exactly. We have never been funded for that in the past. And we currently have an intensive outpatient program that is connected to our iPlan program. And that is a program that works with people who've been incarcerated, moving back out into the community to prevent recidivism. But you have to be Department of Corrections involved in order to be in that intensive program. So I completely agree with Amelia. We have wanted an intensive outpatient program here for years, and it looks like this year we may get funding for that.
And who needs to fund that?
That would come through ADAP, the Office of Drug and Alcohol Prevention.
Yes, again, we're talking today about issues in Bennington. We're starting with issues about drug abuse, issues that were brought to light by the New York Times, by state media, certainly brought to light by the governor as he talked about the opiate crisis in Vermont. Peg, are there other drugs that are not being paid attention to because of this that you think should be?
Well, I don't think people are ignoring other forms of substance abuse. Certainly, I think we all know that alcohol abuse and addiction continues to outstrip heroin and opiates as a problem. And certainly, cocaine, marijuana, those are all things that have been and continue to be challenges. I think what's happening with opiates is that the incidence of use of those substances has risen so dramatically that it's getting a lot of attention. But a treatment provider, certainly in the recovery community, certainly still recognize and deal with other issues.
While we're talking about this, we got a note from G. Herring, also from our audience today, who says, you know, methadone is a very addictive drug. Methadone will be sold illegally, and then we'll have a methadone problem.
Ah. Well, methadone is very, very highly regulated, and so it's pretty difficult to divert methadone because it's prescribed, it's dosed at a clinic. People are literally watched while they take the dose. So it is so highly regulated that that getting diverted is actually not much of a problem. And one of the challenges with opiate addiction, unlike some other addictions, this substance actually changes people's brain chemistry in a permanent way. So unlike other addictions where the expectation is that you can stop using and eventually not have any medication assisting you in that, with opiates, that does not seem to be the case. There are permanent changes in people's brain chemistry and our neurology.
Although we do see doctors with Suboxone and with other drugs who are able to wean some of their patients off those drugs.
Exactly. It has to do with how long and how much someone has abused. Right?
Another thought from our audience here. Jean says, I was born here and I've lived here my whole life. I have seen parents, teachers, doctors, kids, and neighbors of this community gather together to stop this epidemic. So real community gathering. Yes. Here to deal with the problem. Do you see that, Peg?
Yes, I actually think that's the real story. Not that we have a problem, because every community across our country has a problem with substances. It's really a cultural challenge that we have. But one of the things that's come out of all the attention, all the media attention, has been a remarkable pulling together of the community that's really been inspiring.
That's Peg Gregory. She's the director of Outpatient Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services for United Counseling Service, a community mental health center in Bennington. Peg, thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jane. It's been a pleasure.
We are broadcasting from Bennington today on a bit of a Vermont Edition field trip. We're at Madison Brew Pub with a tremendous audience. We are so pleased to see them here today. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about the challenges and successes of the business community. You can share your thoughts on that by going up to the man in the yellow shirt if you're in our audience, or by calling 1-800-639-2211. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today we're broadcasting live from Madison's Brew Pub in Bennington, Vermont. We're learning a little bit about the town of Bennington and the surrounding region, and we're hearing from some of our live audience and others about this community that you call home or that you have strong feelings about. Share your thoughts with us if you are in our live audience. We'd love to have you come up to the mic. Now is your chance. Come to the mic. And if you are listening on the radio or streaming, you can, of course, call 1-800-639-2211. We're going to talk a little bit about economics now and look at some of the business challenges and successes here. And we're joined by John Shanahan. He's executive director of the Better Bennington Corporation. John, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Same here, Jane. Thanks to you and to the entire staff of VPR. We love having you down here in downtown.
Well, we are so excited to be here. And I want to make sure we move off and talk about business business initiatives. But just before we get completely away from the drug issues that we were talking about before the break with Peg Gregory, I understand that the business community has actually gathered together to try to address this issue as well. What are you doing?
It is. It's called, and it's in the beginning stages, it's called Project Catalyst, which was being spearheaded by the Town of Bennington Economic and Development Coordinator. A few of the groups, the Chamber of Commerce, the Better Bennington Corporation, the Town of Bennington, have drafted a proposal to engage the entire community. Like Peg said, the hospital with UCS and the police department, they're all doing a lot of work and a great job, but we wanted some way to engage the entire community, especially after the response from the students at Mount Anthony. It's, again, in the beginning stages, so it's not a public program yet. Right now it's being vetted by UCS, by the Bennington Police Department, because the last thing we'd like to do is to interfere with any of their efforts, which, as Peg said, have been phenomenal, thrusting us into the national spotlight with the work that our police department's doing. We should be rolling that out in a couple of months, and what it is just empowering the local residents on what they can do to address the problem.
Well, speaking of local residents, we got a note from Jay in Bennington who says, the local economy is the major issue holding Bennington back. A combination of the deteriorating manufacturing industry, a growing drug problem, and the recently completed Bennington bypass have certainly hurt the town in the past few decades. Jay says, despite all of this, I still feel Bennington is a nice place to live, and it certainly has a lot of potential. So, John Shanahan, run with that comment. You know, Jay is saying a couple of factors that he sees holding Bennington back, but it's still a great place. So how do you work with that?
Well, Jay is right. Those are factors that are affecting Bennington one way or another. However, some of the comments are anecdotal. What is really, and I can't say holding us back because I have facts and figures that can, at least in the downtown district, offset
that
and dispute
ways,
it.
Yeah.
But the Bennington bypass, it's a highway. Every town, it goes through a growth stage. Every town needs a highway. For 40 years, we had a problem with trucks downtown. You try to do outdoor cafes or outdoor concerts, and you're dealing with the smoke or Jake braking because we're at the bottom of all these hills. Only one way to address that is to put in a loop around the downtown district. We build Bennington downtown to be a destination. You want to be downtown, then come downtown. If you're just cutting through downtown, and if anybody can remember 15 years ago, the traffic jams that went well over the New York border trying to get into Bennington, only one way to deal with it, and that was through building a highway. Brattleboro survived the highway. Burlington survived it. Every town survives it. Bennington will as well. We try not to base our business models on capturing people who are stuck in Bennington, but rather attracting them downtown. Only one way to do it. The highway's there, and now we have to deal with it and address the issues, but also the opportunities that it now provides.
And
a much nicer streetscape.
Yeah, that's for certain. And the ability to walk downtown without those trucks clogging the arteries.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pause you here because we're going to get into more of the issues about manufacturing. But we have a question from our audience at the microphone. So I'd love to hear that, and then we can come back to some of those challenges with manufacturing. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Rosemary Pelletier. I'm the coordinator for the Hour for Our Community Time Exchange. And it's not really a question, but it's reaffirming that the people of Bennington, it's a good community to live in. And what the Hour Exchange does is allow citizens to list the services they're willing to do for other members. It's a membership organization. And to list the services they want to receive. And no money is exchanged. So it has
part of the bartering economy.
It's a bartering economy. But and it has an impact on the economy. It doesn't address the big issues of, you know, affordable housing, you know, livable wage jobs, et cetera. But it does make the quality of living better, and it builds community. If people are interested in joining it, the number to call is 379-5951. So thank you.
Got it. You're welcome. And we'll put that on our webpage, too. We'll try to get a link up for people who are listening and couldn't get the phone number. We're talking with John Shanahan. He's executive director of the Better Bennington Corporation, and we're looking at some of the business challenges, some of the business successes. And I stopped you to get that comment from the audience, but we were talking a little bit about some of the challenges that our listener Jay wrote in. Let me give you a couple other stats, and then I know, John, you have a lot of them. The unemployment rate, very low here,
it
and
is
going down. But Plasson did close one of its two composite manufacturing plants in town this spring. That was a job loss, more than 140 jobs. And Greenberg's hardware store announced just recently that it's going to be closing at the end of the summer, and that could create a vacant space in the downtown business district and shopping area unless somebody else is already set to come in there. So go from there, and we'll talk a little bit about manufacturing in this community and what you see as the ways to make the business district and employment a really vibrant scene.
Okay, and I'll try to keep it brief because we could go on for weeks about that. And most briefly about Greenberg's. Very sad situation. Greenberg's has been here for 65 years, family-owned, family-operated. Wonderful, strong business, doing very well in downtown Bennington. It fell apart with negotiations during the sale with the estate of the Greenberg family in Leader Home Centers out of Brattleboro. Very unfortunate, being addressed with our town representatives and people from Leader and the Greenberg family. That's as much as I can say about it, other than it's just very unfortunate, and hopefully something good comes out of it.
So a loss for the community to see that go in
absolutely.
That space.
Mm-hmm. On the flip side of that, it took up a large footprint in downtown Bennington. A lot of it was the lumber yard, in two ways to address it. Quickly fill it with another lumber company who may be interested in that property, or look at it in a bigger picture. Some of the projects that we looked at in the past were inhibited because of that footprint taking up downtown, where we now have an opportunity to look at it in a bigger picture, large development angle. So it could be good news. On that, we also have another store that announced it's closing. It's O'Malley's Pet Supply. It's been over 20 years in downtown Bennington. High-end specialty all-natural shop. Mike, his product and his business and his customers, he announced he's closing. And to that, I'd like to address everybody in Vermont. We love our downtowns. That's very obvious and very evident in everything everybody says and does. We need to support the downtowns. When you have online purchasing that you can easily do, when you have big box stores that are offering lower quality products, you have to make a decision. Where do you want to spend your money and who do you want to support? For little businesses to ever stay open and for downtowns to look the way they do now, 5 and 10 years down the road, it's up to each and every person to make that decision. Is it worth an additional dollar to support a local business? And you'll be surprised when you go in. That owner knows the product, knows your animal, knows you, as opposed to walking in or a few keystrokes online.
So you've got that small downtown feel and small businesses that really make up the heart of the downtown. But what about the manufacturing sector?
Well, before we hop into that, I'd like to say you did mention our great employers, our the healthcare system, education in Bennington. Collectively, downtown is the largest employer in Bennington. Collectively, downtown is the largest taxpayer in Bennington. Fortunately, it's also in the spotlight. The people in Bennington love downtown like they do throughout the communities in the state of Vermont. So it has a large impact on everything that happens in our community. Manufacturing, I think our biggest strength is our diversity. We are beholden to no one if a corporation makes a decision to relocate. Now, you had mentioned Plasson. It is a business decision, which in our eyes kind of made sense. They were moving out toward their headquarters, which is more effective for them in the decisions they make.
And they have said it's no issue with Bennington. It just was a company decision, a business decision.
Sure, Plasson is still here. As a matter of fact, they brought in some engineers from Boston, too, so they're just moving people around, and we hate to see them go, but again, it's an opportunity for us to attract somebody else. The Bennington County Industrial Corporation works really hard on that with the town of Bennington, along with the Chamber, us, and Regional Commission. We have everybody in place. And segueing into all of those groups I just mentioned are all part of the Bennington Economic Development Partners who address all the issues that we want to talk about today, manufacturing, healthcare, workforce, housing, education. We're a town of many colleges, a great school system. Love hearing the students stick up for the schools because, you know, it takes a beating sometime, and not just this community, but every community. But I think you can tell by the reaction from our audience that we think we have a great school system. We turn out some powerhouse performers in our students. And
let's take another question here from the audience.
From Sue Congdon.
I don't have a question. This is Sue, and I'm from Bennington. When I first started here in Bennington was 1980, and I worked for the Bennington Banner, and I worked downtown Bennington, and let me tell you, it looked terrible. We are awesome downtown now compared to then, and we bring a lot of people downtown, and I think that things have turned around a lot. I have been downtown since then, and my business has been downtown almost 50 years. This year. I want to say also that since the bypass, it hasn't been as busy, but it has been busy, and it's more for the benefit of the downtown merchants. And I also would like to say that the manufacturing, we're lucky enough to have small manufacturing, so if something goes, something comes, and they support the downtown, and the downtown supports the community.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that comment from our audience today. Yeah. A lot of support for that.
And that's Susan. She owns Star Electric on Main Street in Bennington.
Oh, excellent.
And I love the fact she brought up 50 years because we can go, there's thousands of years of experience right here on Main Street. Some of these businesses have been here for many, many years.
John, we just have you for another minute or two, and I want to ask you because, you know, when we were doing our research for this show, we heard from a lot of people who said they often feel like this part of Vermont is forgotten by the rest of Vermont, that you
not
don't hear
us.
About it. No, not by you, but by other parts, perhaps by, say, Chittenden County.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way? Do you think that's true?
Well, you know, it's a song we could all sing if we wanted to. To me, it's just an excuse. We have to look at it from both sides. What really sets our local economy apart from the rest of the state, and I know this because there's 23 downtown programs, we talk all the time. If I were to ask probably everybody in this restaurant, which community has the largest market in the state? Most people would say Burlington, 600,000 people within a 50-mile radius. Bennington is 1.6 million people. There is no other community that can use that to their advantage. It works against us and for us. If we want to run to a mall, we have malls galore within 45 minutes. But we're also in Albany, New York's backyard. Our local economic development organizations have been working with Global Foundries over in the Malta area to try to attract them and ancillary businesses over here. And that's our big tourist market as well, that New York, New Jersey. So we're the gateway to Vermont, and we benefit a lot from our location.
We are hearing from other people about that as well. Jennifer posted on Facebook to say, you know, Bennington seems to be a place all by itself, with northern Vermont seeming to be surprised that Bennington is a part of Vermont. Even Brattleboro gets acknowledged because they are on I-91. Alexa agrees, saying southwestern Vermont does tend to get overlooked. Just because we're not in an interstate doesn't mean we don't have wonderful things to offer. And certainly Vermont Edition is here today exploring the wonderful things that this community has to offer. We absolutely see it. John Shanahan is the executive director of the Better Bennington Corporation. Thanks very much for speaking with us today. Appreciate
your
time.
Thank you, Jane. Thanks to everybody at VPR.
We're getting to know more about the southwestern part of Vermont today. Coming up, we're going to get a couple of calls and listener audience participation. Thank you to John. And we're going to talk about as well some of the cultural offerings as we broadcast from Radisson's Brew Pub here in Bennington. You're listening to Vermont Edition. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. We've taken the show on the road today, and we're broadcasting live from Bennington. We're in a brew pub right on Main Street, right in the heart of town, and we've got a live audience here on their lunch break, enjoying some food and enjoying a little bit of Vermont Edition. It's a great day here, and we're excited to know more about Bennington and the surrounding community. In the show today, we've looked a little bit at how Bennington has addressed the opiate crisis in the state and the way the town has been portrayed in the national media. We've talked a little bit about the business climate and some of the economic drivers in Bennington County. We're going to turn next to talk a little bit about arts and culture, but first we have a comment from our audience. Go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Dave, and I'm the Dean of Students at the high school, and I wanted to reinforce what John said about the education system in town. We have one of the few full-service high schools in the state. We have a dental hygienist, we have a doctor, we have a number of programs for students at risk. We're also we have the highest number of students with dual enrollment in the state in terms of high school and college. We have 79% of our graduates go on to post-secondary education. So we're very proud of what we have in Bennington, and I want to reinforce that that education is alive and well in this town.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Let's turn now to Robert Wolterstorff. He's the executive director of the Bennington Museum. Robert, it's a pleasure to have you on the program.
I'm delighted to be here.
You know, the Bennington Museum is known far beyond this region for having the world's largest collection of Grandma Moses artwork. And you've been director of the museum for a couple of years. And I understand that, you know, that's still a very important part of the museum, certainly a calling card. But you're also working to maybe augment that image a little bit. And I understand that you had an exhibit recently of Bennington modernism. What did that actually look like?
I want to say it looks great. So if you haven't seen it, everybody out there, come on in. We'd love to show it to you. Yes, we do have the world's largest public collection of artworks by Grandma Moses, who worked just across the border from here in New York State. We're delighted to have that there, and we're proud of that. And we have recently reinstalled it, so I want to say it looks better than it ever did before. But I think that when I came to Vermont a couple years ago, and one of my quick discoveries is that there are two Vermonts. There's sort of the old Vermont of old New England, but there's a really progressive happen in Vermont. And that has gone way back to the beginnings, maybe to Ethan Allen, and continues to this day. So I'm going to say that the moment when Vermont truly led the nation in the visual arts was in the 1960s and early 70s, and it was centered here on Bennington. There was a group kind of focused on Bennington College, but it wasn't just at Bennington College. Some major names. Paul Feeley was head of the visual arts department there. He had a famous student named Helen Frankenthaler. I don't know if people recognize the name. She graduated in 49 and kept coming back through the 50s and 60s. And then in the early 60s, other people with these are titanic, you know, sort of titans in the history of art. Jules Zelitsky, David Smith was hanging out here, Kenneth Noland, Pat Adams, David Smith, I mentioned already, Tony Smith, who's not related, and Anthony Caro, the British sculptor, all in the 1960s, all right here in Bennington.
You are certainly, though, not the only game in town here. We're talking a little bit about artists in Bennington in general. You at the Bennington Museum have a kind of a unique perspective on that. But as we look at the wider art scene here in Bennington and the Bennington area, you know, you've got Mass MoCA in North Adams, Massachusetts. Here in Vermont, you've got the Vermont Arts Exchange, Peak McCullough House, Old Castle Theater, which I should say got a great shout-out in our recent summer theater broadcast. A lot of other galleries. Can you talk more broadly, Robert, about what you see as the art scene here today?
Yeah, I would say that there's truly a vibrant art scene here today. And I want to say I haven't been here that long. I've just been here 2 years. I came from Maine. I wouldn't have come to Bennington if I didn't see huge potential here. And of course, the whole nation's climbing out of recession. But I got to say, I see huge potential in Bennington, and I see huge vitality in Bennington. At the Bennington Museum, we're trying to have a hipper, younger vibe. We call it the new Bennington Museum. Get into it. But we're not the only game in town by any means at all. I'm glad you mentioned Old Castle Theater that moved downtown for the first time about the time I came here. I think this is critical to the vitality of the town and critical to economic development in the center of town. There's another theater program in town, the Living Room Theater, which has been putting on Chekhov productions in North Bennington the last couple years. Theirs is coming up at the end of this month, early next month. Vermont Arts Exchange, you mentioned, which has a basement music series, but more crucially, they have hands-on art programs, and they bring art to the people, which I think is a really cool thing, and that complements what we're doing. Bennington Center for the Arts. And then I want to say one of the big developments, really, is that the Southern Vermont Art and Craft Festival moved here last year from Manchester, and we are building around the first weekend in August a Bennington Arts Weekend.
Fabulous. That's exciting.
Thank you.
We have some comments from our audience on the arts as we're talking about arts and culture in Bennington as we broadcast live today from downtown Bennington. Go right ahead. We'd love to hear from you.
Hi, I'm Melanie. I'm a violinist from Shrewsbury, and I want to talk about a couple of things that we have for kids around here that I don't think is too much on people's radar, but there's a children's Shakespeare theater in North Bennington. It's really exciting. They put on a Shakespeare play every spring for kids 7 to 14, so they're exposed to it before they know it's scary, and it's wonderful. All of my kids went through it. Another one is our children's chorus run by Carrie Ryer Park, which is outstanding. The kids sing in 7 different languages per concert, and they do music from Gregorian chant to this weird piece that Nick Brook just did a world premiere of in this last concert. Really great for the kids. There's so much going on around here. You have no idea.
Well, next time we come to Bennington, we're going to have to listen to that. I appreciate that comment, Melanie. We've got another one here from the audience while we are talking about arts and culture in Bennington. Go right ahead.
I'm Kevin Robinson. I'm with Southwestern Vermont Medical Center. And it's really arts is one of the most important things that we've got going on in this community, and it helps us attract new physicians to our area. You know, we're one of the largest employers in the state, and so having strong arts organizations, our relationship with Dartmouth-Hitchcock, those types of things draw quality people to this community, and I think that it's part of what helps us attract new businesses, new physicians, and people to move to this area.
Thanks for the comment. Appreciate that. We are talking today about arts. We're talking about culture in Bennington. We're hearing from so many of you. Appreciate that. We're talking with Robert Walterstorff, who's the executive director of the Bennington Museum. Robert, how do you orient the arts here? Are you looking to your community to try to engage your community in arts and culture, or are you looking outside to try to draw in people from that really wide variety of people who can come in here? We were just hearing from John Shanahan, over 1.5 million people who can get here quickly. So what's your audience?
Our audience, I would say, you know, it's the audience John was talking about. It's the it's people within driving distance or flying distance, but mostly driving distance of Vermont. That means the whole Eastern Seaboard, and I have to say, within Vermont, Bennington is one of the important gateways, because a lot of people come up the New York Thruway and then come across from Albany. And I see that our role at the Bennington Museum partly is to interpret Vermont art and culture and history and the broader idea of creativity here to folks coming in.
You know, just to bring this all full circle, right at the very beginning of this show, we heard about some of the students at Mount Anthony Union High School and creating a rap in response to the New York Times article that they felt portrayed their school in a negative light that they didn't really appreciate, and they wanted to be able to respond directly. How do you foster the arts in young people around here?
I think you foster the arts in young people by putting them together with great works. I'm going to say two ways. One is the hands-on art programs at Vermont Arts Exchange that I mentioned, but that can be most effective in the context of a museum, I got to say. My own kids, the best time they had in arts programs was when they were doing them in a museum, and they could go upstairs and see art by other people, mature artists, and then they'd go down and create. I think, you know, it's kind of what we're doing with our exhibition right now, Alice Neal, Erastus Salisbury Field. We're doing these kind of, I want to say, surprising things. That's what we're aiming for, creative collisions between the past and the present, between the past and the modern, and bringing people into the museum so that they see that, and they'll see that the past meets the present, and that inspires the future. And that's what I want the museum to do.
And what about for you? You're a fairly new resident here, as you mentioned. You moved from Maine a couple years ago. You have this perspective of an outsider coming in and now seeing this as your community. Yep. What are your thoughts on Bennington?
I got to say, again, I said earlier, I would not have come here if I didn't see incredible potential. I discovered the potential of Bennington modernism, this amazing movement here, after I came here. I should be embarrassed to say that, but we're trying to get the word out about that more. I love Bennington. I love the landscape of Bennington, but I love the potential to focus on the creativity of this state.
Well, Robert Walterstorff, Executive Director of the Bennington Museum, thank you so much for talking a little bit about arts and culture in Bennington. We appreciate you being here.
So welcome.
And before we go today, we do have another comment from our audience. We've got a great live audience here at Madison's. They've been great about joining in, and we have one more.
Thank you. My name is Lori Mulhern, and I'm a parent of Bennington. And I just want to say thanks to all the agencies and organizations that support our families in meeting their needs in the community. A lot of them put terrific programs together, such as our local new time banking, and in addition to Can't Be a Kid through United Counseling Service. That's there to meet the family's needs. However, I would like to say that I'd like to see a developmental clinic of some kind placed in the area, because we have a difficult time accessing those resources from where we live. It's a 3-hour drive to get to anywhere, so we often have difficulty accessing Boston or Albany or Dartmouth or Burlington. So for children and families, I would like to say that could be a really big push in our community to see one put in place in support of the families.
But for you, how do you get to the point where you have a community that has everything you want but still has that small town feel?
I've lived outside of Boston, and I've lived in Pownall, I've lived in Bennington, and I'll tell you, having a small community such as this, it is, when there is a need in the community rises to the need. Oftentimes, it's all grassroots. It's a handful of individuals that calls a meeting. Next thing you know, there's this huge program put in place. And so the beauty about Bennington is that there is a response. And the response is huge, because it's all geared towards what the need is here. And you know, I have to thank all those agencies and organizations that do this so well. Because without it, we, as a resident of Bennington, I wouldn't be able to participate in the arts or to access local services or to have my child go to a camp or to know that I can go to anyone and say, hey, I saw this. And then all of a sudden, I have seven more people to jump in on that task. So it's a really great community.
Well, that's a wonderful comment to wrap up our show on here, thinking about tying it all together, thinking about Bennington. I appreciate you for that. And that is going to wrap up our show today, broadcasting live from Bennington. I want to thank very much, because we had a lot of technical problems getting ready. It's always that, are we going to make it? Are we going to get on the air? And we did, thanks to Chris Albertine and to Mike Seguin, our engineers. Thank you to them. Our producers for the show are Patty Daniels and Rick Singeri, with assistance from Catherine Hayes. And Sage Van Wing researched and produced today's show. Thank you so much as well to Mike and Mel Madison, co-owner of Madison's Brewing Company. Thank you so much for letting us be here. And thanks, really, to all of you for coming. What a wonderful audience. We really appreciated your enthusiasm, your time, and your energy. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Jane Lindholm. Back in the studio tomorrow, we're going to have gardening expert Charlie Nardozzi on the show. This is Vermont Edition. Thank you for listening.